All right, well, why don't you get your Bibles, maybe for the last time here, and stand with me and turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11 tonight. Hebrews 12 and verse number 11. Well, I know this is unlike me, but we'll keep it short this evening and kind of a shortened message, but last Wednesday, we started a series called Portraits of Grace, looking at 10 Bible characters who exemplify God's grace in difficult situations. We're actually going to pause from that, pick that up next Wednesday, and we have kind of a topical study we're going to do this evening. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11 tonight, it says this: "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Lord, as we study this topic tonight, and as we look ahead to this new year, help us, God, to take this issue of discipline seriously in our own life, to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. You know, I kind of look around the room and I see, just by raise of hands, how many of you started attending the church here at 1250 South Court Street? Just raise your hands up, all right? Raise them high, all right? I want to see them. Awesome. Praise the Lord. How many of you started attending, obviously, at Everett's then, all right? Wow. So it's just awesome to see how God has grown the church at this place. Yeah, you, Jerry, we know you're there. So we just kind of looking around and seeing what God has done. You know, obviously, we had our first wedding here at the church, Nate and Taylor, just right behind us here. We had our first funeral here at the church. We had our first baptism in that portable baptistry. I told somebody, I said, I'm really praying everything goes right, because I kind of already gave that thing away to another church plant. So we want to be a blessing to another church plant we support. And I said, hey, would you need it? And so I thought, well, maybe I should have waited, but just walking by faith at this point in time. But we saw our first baptism here as well. Able to have many services and start new ministries and started our youth group in this building, meeting weekly, I should say, Sunday night services as well, Wednesday night service, and so ministry training class began here. A lot that God has done, and we're so grateful for everything He's done here. We could also go back further and say, man, look at all that God did at Everett's Middle School. And I think that we'll be able to look ahead and say, what is God going to do at this new place? So we're trusting Him, continuing, asking Him to continue to keep this door open as it is His will. So tonight, it's the new year, new you, as they say, new year, new you. It's probably the same us, just trying new things, right, for the most part. But when it comes to resolutions or really anything in our Christian walk, you have to have discipline in your life if you're going to accomplish your not only your goals in life, but your Christian goals as well. So tonight, what I'm going to do, just briefly, we're going to walk through just how important discipline is in our life. And what it means to us as Christians. Look at that verse again, Hebrews 12:11, and let me just kind of break this down. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seem to be joyous." Amen to that, right? No chastening, no discipline that you endure seems joyous at the time. Usually, we're not going through it thinking, "Oh, I'm so glad that I get to partake in this, you know, this chastening." But rather, we're wondering, when is this going to be over? You know, I can't wait for it to be done. It says it's not joyous, but what? But grievous. Sometimes it feels like, oh, I got to do that again, you know. Nevertheless, the Bible says, afterward, and that's the key to discipline, isn't it? usually practicing discipline, you're not going to see fruit from that immediately, but it's afterward when you stick with it, when you continue in that process of discipline. It says it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so if you want to be successful in your walk for Jesus, you must have discipline. Personal discipline, we kind of, we had a study we went through a while back called Lessons on Leadership, and we had pictures up. Does anybody remember those, kind of the pictures? And there was something we walked through called Discipline Bridge. And discipline is like a bridge that gets you from where you are to where you want to be, isn't it? And unless you have that discipline, you're never going to get to where you want to be. You're just going to stay right where you're at. When I was younger, back when I lived in Tarleton, that way, I guess, Tarleton, I remember when I first wanted to learn basketball, I would go outside of my house, I would get my basketball, and for like hours, it seemed like, I would take that basketball, and I always wanted to be able to dribble better, okay? Now, as a big guy, that was hard to begin with, but I would see the like some of my favorite players, and they had these ball handling skills. So I would go out there on my sidewalk, and it kind of curved and went downhill, and I would take that basketball, and I would dribble it between my legs, and I would catch it. Then I would dribble it between this legs and catch it, and then I would practice walking very slow, you know, this would never work in the game, type slow, anybody could steal it, and I would walk, and then after a while, as I continued to do that day after day, now I'm not a good ball handler today, but I got a lot better than what I was, and to have that patience and that discipline to dribble the ball off the foot time and time again, to chase it down into the streets of Tarleton to get it, you know, dodging cars as you're grabbing it. But to continue with that, it got me where I wanted to go. Discipline is that type of bridge. Now, here's the thing when it comes to discipline. It takes time and effort to build discipline, doesn't it? You don't become disciplined overnight. Now, we all wish that we became disciplined overnight, but that's not how it works. You see, discipline is something that once it's in place, it stays there for a while. But it is very hard to build. And you're going to find, though, it'll make your journey here in your Christian life a lot easier if you build some of these disciplines that we're going to talk about. Over time, discipline begins to take over. There are certain disciplines, you might call them habits in your life, that you exercise every day and you don't even notice. Brushing your teeth, squeezing the toothpaste out the correct way onto the toothbrush. My kids have not learned that discipline yet, all right? Every day it's on the sink. I'm like, what? And it's maybe they're not brushing their teeth enough. I don't know what it is, but they're still not getting it. They haven't formed that discipline in their life, right? There are certain things every day that you have practiced, maybe putting your seatbelt on. It's some, hopefully, and I struggle with that too or forget, but to establish those disciplines, they just take over. We don't even know they're happening. And how awesome would it be if that was the same way in our Christian life, when it came to our prayer life, when it came to how we interacted with people? You know, there's a pastor at LBC Chillicothe, Shane Browning. He has become so disciplined at sharing the gospel with people that it is almost insane how it just flows out of him anytime he speaks to another human being. Because he established that, he made it a priority, and he began to do it and to tell others about Jesus. So now it's become such a discipline in his life, almost everyone he talks to, it just comes out in conversation. How wonderful. It becomes natural to us when discipline is built. We don't have to think about it as much. Listen, if you want to accomplish any sort of goals in your life, you have to have discipline. Here's what somebody said. I like this definition. Discipline is sacrificing what you want right now for what you want the most. What you want right now for what you want the most. Maybe your New Year's resolution was to get in the gym more or lose 10 pounds. Well, you know that when you get to the gym, you get on that treadmill, you start walking, you're going to feel great for about the first 3 minutes, right? And then eventually it's going to start to burn your lungs. You're going to start, what's this wet stuff coming out of my pores, you know, and how this hurts. And oh, my knee, I don't remember that pain, you know, 3 years ago. And you start to running on that thing. And what's going to happen is you step on that treadmill because what you want the most is to lose 10 pounds. But what's going to happen is you're going to be faced with something that you want right then, and that is to get off the treadmill. Eventually, you're going to say, what I want right now is to just get off, go to my car, go to McDonald's, and get a cheeseburger is what I want right now. Amen. But what do you want the most? You say, well, that's what I actually want the most, you know. It's to lose the weight. It's to whatever it might be. That's what discipline is like. Now, it comes in the same sense with our Christian life. If you say, I want to read through the New Testament this year as a believer, well, that's what you want most. You're going to have to sacrifice some things that you want right now, meaning tomorrow morning when you get up, your alarm clock goes off. You set it a half an hour early so you can get your reading done. And that alarm's going to go off. You're going to be faced with two scenarios. What you want the most, to read your Bible, or what you want right now, which is to reach over, click that thing off, and go back to sleep for another half an hour, right? When it comes to witnessing or sharing your faith, you say, well, what I want the most is to bring my friends to Jesus. Well, there's going to come a time where you get put in a situation or an opportunity, I should say, to share your faith. And what you want at the moment may be not to be embarrassed or not to lose your friends. And you're going to have to choose what you want the most over what you want right now, which is, yeah, I'd rather not talk about this. Let's go back to talking about sports or something. That's the way discipline works. There's a golfer. His name's Gary Player. He's one of the most successful international golfers of all time. He said, I've lost count how many times somebody has said to me, I would give anything to hit a golf ball like you. I'd give anything to hit a golf ball like you. And one day after a really grueling training session, he was kind of coming off the course and somebody stopped him and he said that. I'd give anything to hit the golf ball like you. And he couldn't resist. He said, no, you wouldn't. He said, you'd give anything to hit the golf ball like me if it were easy. He said, if you really want to hit the golf ball like me, he says, you need to go out and you need to hit 1,000 golf balls. When you're done, go up to the clubhouse, get a bandage from where your hand's bleeding, then go out and hit another 1,000 golf balls, and then you can hit a golf ball like me. See, that's kind of the truth, isn't it? See, we would do it if it were easy. I'd give anything just so long as it didn't cost me too much. I'd give anything just so long as that anything is something little, right? See, the truth is, potential doesn't get you anywhere, does it? There are a lot of people who have a lot of potential in life and they don't go anywhere. Potential doesn't get you anywhere. It was Harry Emerson that said this, no horse gets you anywhere until he is harnessed. No stream or gas drives anything until it is confined. No Niagara Falls is ever turned into light and power until it is tunneled. And no life ever grows great until it is focused, dedicated, and disciplined. Here's what potential is. Potential is what a life would be if that life had discipline in it. So you get that? Potential is what someone's life would be if they were disciplined. Harry Emerson later went on to say this, the steady discipline of intimate friendship with Jesus results in men becoming like him. And that's our goal. Listen, I'm not giving you a lesson on spiritual discipline so that we can just be better us's. Is that a word? Probably not. That you can improve your life skills. That's not the point. Our goal is to be like Jesus, right? our goal isn't just to be some disciplined Buddhist monks who walk around and do crazy feats of, you know, of self-discipline. That's not the goal. The goal is to be like Jesus. It was Zig Ziglar, who's a famous motivational speaker. He's not a pastor, but he's a Christian. He said this: it was character that got us out of bed, commitment that moved us into action, and discipline that enabled us to follow through. You see, over time, if you're disciplined in something, you're going to start to build a habit. And they say that a habit, there's different studies done, but kind of the, I guess, the latest study says in order to build a habit, a person needs between 18 to 254 days. All right. So in other words, basically, it could last you up to, it could take you an entire year before you build that habit. For some people in the room, you may do it for 2 weeks and it's just part of your routine. For others, it needs to be driven in and driven in and driven in. And then if you stop, then you got to start over and become disciplined again and again. A habit will sustain you, however, whether you're inspired or not inspired. You see, kind of let's apply that thought to the Christian life. You could come in here on a Sunday or a Wednesday, thanks for being here, and hear me preach about discipline and get jacked up and be ready to punch discipline in the face when you leave here and read your Bible and pray and do all these things and become the best Christian ever and you're never going to miss a service and get really motivated from that. But the problem is that motivation only gets you so far. Eventually, you have to build a habit in your Christian life. See, when it comes to the Christian life, a habit is what's going to sustain you. I hope that you're taking that Bible reading challenge for the New Testament. I know some of our teens are. My hope is that you're reading it every single day. But what you're going to find is that eventually, because it's fresh right now, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about the Bible reading groups. Man, I'm praising the Lord. We got over 60 people who have signed up for those. And just awesome and exciting. Just trusting what the Lord's going to do through that. That's, to me, that's motivating. But eventually, a month from now, that motivation is going to kind of wear off. That's when a habit needs to take over. You see, a habit continues whether you're inspired or not, doesn't it? A habit will fill the space or fill the void, so to speak, when you're not as inspired as when you first began. See, motivation is something we all desire. Man, I wish I had something to motivate me a little bit, but motivation only carries you so far. Inspiration and talent can only get you to the beginning steps, but the habit you form will sustain you. At our men's prayer breakfast, Brother Paul said this quote. I forget who it was by. It didn't originate with him, but he had quoted somebody. He said, habits, maybe some of you guys remember this, habits eat enthusiasm for breakfast. You remember when he said that? Habits eat enthusiasm for breakfast. And you can be really enthused, but if you have a habit in place that goes against that enthusiasm, your habit's probably going to win 99% of the time. That's why it's important to be disciplined to build those habits. I love watching those videos of those football coaches, basketball coaches, whatever it is, giving those pregame speeches in the locker rooms and just like pumping up their team. And they're just ready to run out there and just give their all. And it gets you fired up listening to them. You just like, you want to go play something or do something, right? I love listening to those and hearing those. But at the same time, you can pump up a team or a group of players as much as you want. But if they lack certain things like discipline, conditioning, practice, coaching, experience, and character, that enthusiasm is only going to get them so far, right? Enthusiasm does not make up for preparation. Exuberance, when it comes to sports, doesn't translate to a single point on the scoreboard, does it? You can be super motivated, walk out there and get whooped and sent back to the locker room, right? We need self-discipline. We need more than just passion in our lives. My first ever race that I ran, which you guys would have been fine with that too. This is Southern Ohio. So my first race that I ever ran was a 5K turkey trot down there in Yaktangi Park. It was the Larry Cox turkey trot. And I ran for about 2 months to train. I was trying to build that discipline. And then I stopped for about a month. I didn't run. And then about a week before the race, I thought, I better hop back in this thing, and started running again the week of the race. I show up, and I thought, you know, I got to get something to pump me up. I mean, to give me some adrenaline here. So I got my phone. I downloaded some songs. You know, I got Eye of the Tiger on there. Hearts on Fire. All the Rocky soundtrack, basically. I got it on there. And I get some awesome Christian songs to kind of pump me up. And I'm thinking, sweet. And I'm warming up. And man, these things are like, I mean, they're getting my heart rate just, you know, I'm like, yes, I'm ready to do this. And I went out and I hit play and then they said, go, you know, and I start my watch and I take off running and that song just blaring. And I'm like bobbing and weaving in and out of people. I'm passing people. I'm feeling great. And then the first song went off at about 4 or 5 minutes into the race. And the next one came on, and that was pretty exciting. I thought, okay, you know, I'm feeling good until about 7 or 8 minutes into the race. And then it did not matter what music you put in my earphones. There was nothing, no form of motivation at that point could have made me run any faster, because my lack of preparation and endurance and discipline leading up to the race had caught up to me. And that motivation got me about a mile, and then after that mile, again, it could have been Rocky himself standing there saying, "You got it, Nate," or giving me a speech, or, you know, "You got to get back up," or whatever, and I would have said, "Whatever, Rocky, I don't care, man." It only gets you so far. That's why we have to build those habits. Okay, life. Listen, as we walk through our Christian life, this isn't just a life lesson on discipline. The author of Hebrews is teaching a biblical truth. You have to realize this is a spiritual lesson. The Christian who will go furthest for the Lord is not the one Christian who gets pumped up on Sunday morning after hearing their favorite song or a powerful message. It's the Christian, the one who will go the furthest is the one who is disciplined throughout the week, day in and day out, doing the monotonous things that we seem, well, this isn't as exciting. Understand where this ability comes from, and I gotta close, all right? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, and get this, temperance. Against such there is no law. That temperance is self-discipline, self-control. Understand that if you are a child of God, you possess the power inside of you, because the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, to be self-disciplined. It's not a matter of, listen, the Holy Spirit takes can't out of our vocabulary, doesn't it? And says, no, as a matter of fact, you of all people can, because we are indwelt with His Spirit. It doesn't come from our human will, but by the Holy Spirit. Consider the difference, just a little comparison, between piloting maybe a motorboat and a sailboat. Now listen, we can run a motorboat all by ourselves. We can fill the gas tank. We can start the engine. We are in control. But a sailboat's a different story, isn't it? You see, with a sailboat, you can hoist the sails. You can steer the rudder. But we are utterly dependent on what? The wind. And that's what the Christian life is about. The wind does the work. If the wind doesn't blow, and sometimes it doesn't blow, we sit still in the water. No matter how frantic we act, we're not going anywhere. Our task is to do whatever it takes to enable us to catch the wind, right? And that's what self-discipline does. It puts us in a position to catch the wind. The Holy Spirit as our guide. Here's a great three questions to consider, okay? When it comes to discipline, you may have heard me ask these three questions before. What do you really want out of your Christian life? Say, I want to, you know, lead 10 people to Christ this year. I want to, maybe I want to increase my prayer life. I want to develop relationships more in the church, whatever that is. What do you really want out of your Christian life? Secondly, the next question is, what will that cost you? Is it, you know, less time at work and more time with believers? Is it less sleep so that you can read or pray more? Is it less time doing a hobby that you have so that you can deepen your walk with Christ? Is it saving you, you know, the McDonald's so that you can tithe? You know, what is that? What do you really want? What will it cost? And then finally, and the most important question, are you willing to pay the price? See, the truth is, most of us know what we want. We know what it's going to cost. But that last question is the kicker, I should say. Are we willing to pay the price to do what it takes? Amen. Would you bow with me tonight? With heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here this evening and you say, Pastor Nathan, I trust and